Our scripture reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 4. Nonetheless, those who were in distress won't be exhausted. At an earlier time, God cursed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But later he glorified the way of the sea, the far side of the Jordan, and the Galilee of the nations. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in a pitch dark land, the light has dawned. You have made the nation great. You have increased its joy. They rejoiced before you, as with joy at the harvest, as those who divide plunder rejoice. As on the day of Midian, you shattered the yoke that burdened them, the staff on their shoulders, and the rod of their oppressors.
Our second reading is from Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 23.
Now when Jesus heard that John was arrested, he went to Galilee. He left Nazareth and settled in Capernaum, which lies alongside the sea in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali. This fulfilled what Isaiah the prophet said, "Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, alongside the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, and the people who lived in the dark have seen a great light, and a light has come upon those who lived in the region and in the shadow of death." From that time, Jesus began to announce, "Change your hearts and lives. Here comes the kingdom of heaven." As Jesus walked alongside the Galilee Sea, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, throwing fishing nets into the sea because they were fishermen. "Come follow me," he said, "and I will show you how to fish for people." Right away, they left their nets and followed him. Continuing on, he saw another set of brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with Zebedee, their father, repairing nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. Jesus traveled throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues. He announced the good news of the kingdom and healed every disease and sickness among the people.
Let us pray. Lord God, we've heard your word. Let it come into our hearts and into our minds. Let it speak directly to us individually and collectively. Help it to change us, to refresh us, and encourage us. Let these words truly become the meditation of our hearts. And all the beloved said, amen. Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 23 is what we'll be preaching on today. And this scripture follows two major events in Jesus' life. First, his baptism when he was about 30 years old, which signified his entrance into ministry. And immediately following his entrance into ministry, this section of scripture follows him being driven into the wilderness by the Spirit of God to be tempted by the devil for 40 days. And Jesus did it. He went, conquered, and now he's returning in the power of the Spirit of God to fulfill his ministry, the ministry in which he was baptized to. And what's the first thing that he hears? He doesn't hear good news. He hears sad news. John the Baptist, his cousin and his friend, had been thrown into prison. This makes us stop. This makes us recognize Jesus's humanity. This makes us realize that Jesus had an existence prior to being driven into the wilderness. There was things that took place in Jesus' life prior, in between him being born in the manger and this account. Jesus was an ordinary human. He was an ordinary person. It wasn't, bam, he's born and starts ministry. There's a lot that's left out. We only hear of two accounts prior to his, in between his birth and this account in ministry. One when he was about 2 years old, and some strangers came and visited him and gave him gifts and worshiped at his feet and then left. And right after they left, he was sent to be a refugee, a foreigner in a foreign land. Thank God it wasn't America, he'd be in prison. Thank God it wasn't America, everyone seeking to take care of him would be in prison or worse, shot and murdered in the name of justice. But, and then we hear about when he's 12 years old and he returns to Nazareth. And then when he returns to Nazareth, he goes down, as custom was, to Jerusalem for his introduction to temple. And Mary and Joseph lose sight of him during that account. And who do they go to? They run to their cousins, Elizabeth and Zebedee, John's father. Have you seen him? Why did they go to him? Because they were family. John was only 4 months older than Jesus. They were cousins, close to birth, close to relationship. They were friends. And Jesus' first encounter in a ministry is your cousin, your friend, has been thrown in prison. Jesus was an ordinary person who was capable of feelings. And in this moment, he felt grief. He felt loneliness. He felt sadness. And he felt anger. And what does he do about it? There are four things which Jesus does. Four things that we can follow as Christians. First, he mourned. He mourned the loss of his friend. He mourned the loss of his cousin, and he allowed himself time to grieve. It said he set himself apart. That was the first verse. The Bible says that Jesus goes through everything which we do. Why? Because Jesus is a normal person. First and foremost, yes, Jesus is the Son of God. Yes, Jesus was with God and is God since the beginning. Yes, Jesus is the light of the world that came down to show us a great light. But last of all, least, Jesus is a high priest who has suffered in every which way we will suffer, and every which way we have suffered. He knows everything we've gone through, and he's not without being touched, because the things that people suffer, Jesus suffered. Jesus didn't have the advantage of wealth. Jesus didn't have the advantage of power. Jesus had no advantage of power, prestige, or influence. Actually, it's quite the opposite. In the Gospel of John, when Jesus actually pronounces to people in power and says, "Don't you understand? Before Abraham was, I am." Meaning, I am the beginning. I am the light. I am the life. What did they seek to do? They sought to stone him. When Jesus boldly proclaims to people in power, "I am the Son of Man. I am the human one," they sought to kill him. When Jesus boldly pronounces, "I am the Son of God," they said, "That's blasphemy and you deserve death." And how did Jesus die? He didn't die a wonderful, loving life. It's not a fairy tale where he got his magic ending. No, he died on a cross. Why? Because he stood up to power. But before that, he grieved. He knew that his cousin was cast into prison for speaking truth to power. And he knew that for the next 3 years, his ministry would be speaking truth to power. Telling people it's okay to be woke. That diversity, equity, and inclusion are good things. He was sought to be cast into prison. John was cast into prison because the king decided to steal his brother's wife because he thought her attractive. Jesus is just like us, and he was crucified for it. So he took time to grieve. He took time to look at his own life, to think about what the next few years would mean. He isolated himself, second thing. He didn't seek the influence of other people. He didn't go to his favorite news outpost and say, what do they have to say about this? He didn't go to his favorite politician and say, what do you have for me? No, he sought solidarity with God. When things go wrong in our life, we need to seek solidarity with God. He sought deep reflection, alone with God. Reflecting upon the prior actions, reflecting upon the direction that God had for him. And throughout Jesus's ministry, in every single one of the Gospels, you're going to hear about how Jesus withdrew from the crowd and took time to pray. Before every and major event in Jesus's life, when he called the 12, when he sought for the 12 to go out, when he sought for the 70 to go out, and the night before he died, he sought solidarity with God to contemplate, to reflect, to be encouraged, to be empowered. We need to practice. We need to learn to seek direction from God. Right now, in various parts of our country, people are being thrown in prison and murdered for condemning acts of tyranny. You don't have to agree with either side, but we need to agree with the Bible. We need to agree with Jesus. We need to be bold enough to speak truth to power, and we won't have that boldness without prayer. Jesus could have lived a wonderful life on earth, but he spoke truth to power. The Lord's Prayer, which we just prayed earlier, is a prayer to teach us to speak truth to power. And Jesus had to prepare himself for a ministry of rejection and persecution, so he withdrew. And then after he was encouraged, after he spent time in prayer, there's a third thing he did. He went to work. He began his task of preaching. He got to work. Now remember, Jesus was just like us. He had a job prior to teaching. He was a son of a carpenter, which means he learned to be the carpenter himself. His hands weren't soft hands. His hands were hard, calloused hands. And he went out to people just like him to preach a God that loved them. To preach that we are just, that he's just like us. He's one with us. He's one of us. And Jesus, knowing that he'd be thrown into prison right alongside John, preached truth, preached love. He preached love to those filled with hate. He preached hope to the poor. He preached freedom to those bound by chains. He preached so the blind could see. He preached so the lame could walk. He preached so the deaf could hear. He preached so the good news could be spread among those that needed it. He did not preach to fill pews. He did not preach to add people to seats. But he preached that those in captivity could feel freedom. And he preached for salvation to those who don't know the love of God. He preached, Jesus loves you. It's the only message. It's all-inclusive. It's a message that tears down. It's a message that builds up. It's a message that completely changes everything about a person inside and out. And it's a message specially for each and every single one of us. Jesus loves you. And lastly, Jesus built a community. This is what filled the pews. This is what brought the people together. Community. Community fills seats. Because we are here together because we're a like-minded community. If we weren't like-minded, we wouldn't be here. We'd be in other places. And we realize we can't do it on our own. There's a job to be done. And it's too big for each one of us separately. So collectively, as a community, we can do it. We realize that if one person can change the world, how much more so a like-minded community? We need to be friendly in order to make friends. Jesus made friends. We need to foster a community of trust, a community of hope, a community of forgiveness, and a community of grace. That's what Jesus did. He called his disciples and he discipled them. When they messed up, he taught them and corrected them and showed them a better way and gave them grace to improve. Teaching builds community. Social justice builds community. Love builds community. And they will know that we are Christians by our love. And it is love that binds us together. So this week, as we go forward, remembered we are called for such a time as this, to such a place as this, to do all the good we can for all the people we can for as long as we can. And it starts with us acknowledging that we're human. We are not perfect. We are not all powerful. We have emotions, and that's okay. We're allowed to mourn. We need to spend time alone with God. We need to have a job to do. We need community to do that job. Our scripture reading ended in verse 23. What it doesn't include is how Jesus, following these four things, taking time to be real with himself, taking time to mourning, taking time to pray, building friends, and getting to work. News about him spread throughout Syria. People brought to him all those who had various kinds of diseases, those in pain, those possessed by demons, those with epilepsy, and those who were paralyzed. And Jesus healed them. Then large crowds followed Jesus from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and from areas beyond the Jordan. You're here in the midst of a community, doing the will of God, following the steps of Christ, will naturally draw the community in, because you're part of the community and you're engaging with them and you're giving them something the world has forgotten and the world is unable to give. Love, the love of Jesus, the same love that shined upon you begins to shine through you and upon those you encounter. Let us pray. Lord God, it was you who stepped out of heaven to be a light unto us, to show us not only how much God loves us, but how we live in this world. You showed us how to tear down, how to build up, how to do our work, how to pray. You showed us all these things, Lord, that we could follow. Lord, this week as we go out, help us to follow, that your people, which are called by your name, will see that you love them, will hear that you love them, and will receive you. And all the beloved said, Amen.